All right, you are here at CITR 101.9 FM, Christmas time. We're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. And I'm all alone. I'm all alone. Usually, it's me and my co-host, Simon Armstrong, but he's visiting his family. But I'm a little more professional, and I'm here to do the show. You're listening to Vancouver, right? CITR's morning show every Thursday, 8 to 9 a.m. I bet Simon's listening in some weird hungover state, just judging me. You can't do a good job. I can. I actually brought my mom to hang out, and I'm here with a guest. I brought a guest. It's
Kevin Kokoska. I think I don't know your usual co-host, but we might have to get like a viewer poll. Like I could be a potential replacement.
You're
I
already better. Yeah. This is so much better. And this is going to be nice. You're plugging your play that you're doing at the Kulch next year. Yes.
That's right. Yeah, early next year, doing a one person play. First one person play. Actually, just graduated here from UBC.
First play, or first one person play?
First play. First
play
first
ever.
One person play.
And you were like, yeah, "I'll just do it all myself. I don't need anyone else."
It started like that, yeah. But it turns out one person play is really just a very incorrect title because you need a lot more than one person to get the job done.
So it's a
someone's got to be running the lights. Who's gonna be? I was like, who's gonna be running the lights? I'll run the lights. Yeah. On off. You know, but it turns out that's another guy.
Not in here today. I'm this. Let me paint you a picture, you the listener. We're here at UBC. It's very quiet. Mm. I don't think the security guards are even here yet. It's every man for himself. An empty building. I'm doing everything. It's like I snuck in. I really did just sneak in, and I'm very cold. I don't really want to leave. What's up?
There's a delivery man outside. This, so I get here. No one's here on campus.
Yeah.
And the doors are locked. And then from behind me, I hear this guy. He's like, "Oh, fuck!" And it's like the postman.
All right, we can't swear. Still so better than Simon.
Yeah,
but
okay. I was gonna say,
don't
yeah,
swear
yeah,
again.
Okay, check it. Yeah. Okay, maybe I'm equal to Simon now. I started off one better. We're back down to equal. We'll see how the rest of this time goes.
Security guard. Yeah.
So he's just making his rounds, and he's like, every place I've been this morning, he's like, "Sorry, man, for the swearing," as I'm sorry for the swearing here. But everywhere I've been on my rounds this morning has been closed. And I'm on a wild goose chase.
He's a delivery man.
Yeah, he's a delivery man. I won't say the name of his company because he's a swear. He's a potty mouth.
Yeah, we should call that number. How's my delivering?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? It's a little filthy.
Yeah.
To be honest.
That's not the spirit. That's not the spirit of Christmas Eve.
How was your morning? How was getting up? I moved my mic and now I've found it's not as good and I'm moving it right back to where it was before.
Great. You know, I live in sunny Kitsilano and I took a car to go here and I was reminded driving past there's a London Drugs on, I guess it's Broadway and Vine or something. Last year, 1 year ago today, Christmas Eve, I was getting, you know, stocking stuffers at the London Drugs.
Oh, we got a call already. Go. Oh, it's going to be a busy morning. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's put them on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to CITR. You're on the radio. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I just wanted to contribute to that listener poll. Yeah, this is much better than Simon. Tell me more about the lights on your show.
Tell me more about the lights on your show. Well, you know, people have been calling me.
I don't care.
I want this guy as my co-host. What's up, man? What's your name?
Hey, my name's Simon. I usually do co-host the show. Shut up.
Oh, it's Simon.
Oh, it's Simon. Yes, of course. I'm not hungover right now, but I am listening. You guys sound great.
You sound so so different.
You
I was so excited
young.
To hear
you
that.
You sound so young, man.
Oh, he is young, yeah. Believe me. Why do I have this young... How are you doing, man? How's your holidays?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Eating too much food.
So yeah. Where are you?
Victoria.
Victoria. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, what's going on in there?
Thanks for breaking up our flow. We were really getting into the addresses of London Drugs, and he's a little nervous.
Oh yeah,
Kevin's a pretty boy, but he's a little.
I'm really interested in this listener poll. I'd really like to get that going.
Yeah,
really.
What do you think? Was that a little? That was pretty.
Yeah, I'd like to see how you went. I'm all alone here. Oh, here's my guest. Like you already forgot about him, and then you went, oh God, look, oh yeah, he actually is here. Oh my God.
Well, he walked in right when I said that. No, that was me going, I'm all alone. And he went, hello, like kind of like Kramer. He just kind of slid in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he said a loud booming F word within the first 2 minutes. Really doing a good job today.
Yeah, I have to admit, it wasn't even like, usually when people swear on the air, it's kind of a subtle slipped in, but that was louder than the rest of his sentence. It's ridiculous.
No, I'm surprised that you're figuring out the board. You managed to answer the phone. Good for you.
How about you give us like a little bit of time here to, you know, get into it, and then you can
absolutely
call back later. And hey, Simon, what do you want for Christmas, buddy? Just love hanging up on people.
So London Drugs on Broadway and Vine.
Yeah.
1 year ago to the day, Christmas Eve. Who do I see in there but Nathan Fielder? Are you familiar with Nathan Fielder? Nathan for you, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he was...
I'd be so starstruck. Well, and I'd have to talk to him.
Well, so here's the thing. So this was... He's had a big year since I saw him, right? Which I don't know if you want to attribute it to that or not, but he's had a big year. He was still known this time last year, but I think he's on a much... on a much bigger level now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was aware of who he was, obviously, but it's Christmas Eve and he's with some people. But he's one of those guys where he has that demeanor, which is his thing. And sometimes I wonder if the guys, these comics who have that, are that all the time.
Sure.
Or is they just putting it on, or is it a heightened version? And so I just observed him in his natural habitat and just kind of like made sure I was in the same aisles.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious. Like, he knocked over a thing of chocolate bars, and he looked to his friend. He's like, do I have to buy all those now? Like, just in the Nathan Fielder way. Like, he's always on. But I didn't bother him or talk to him, but I'm going to go back there today and see if he's there.
Great story, bud.
Yeah.
So your plug-in, your show. So the play is about your experience as a counselor at a fat camp.
Mm-hmm.
And taking one look at you, you're in excellent shape. You're really quite a handsome man. So isn't that a little mean to these guys? You're bringing in like this Abercrombie model, and it's like, hey guys, this is on the complete other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would really, shouldn't it be someone a little frumpy that'd be like, here's an improvement?
Yeah. Well, that was, and I take your compliments. Thank you. But that was part of the struggle was, I mean, many people at that camp
part of the struggle, it's so hard to inspire these kids when I'm so buff.
Well, I think to somebody who wants to get thinner, thin equals happy. Do you know what I mean? Like the thing that we don't have that we're striving for, that we'll be happy when we get this.
Yeah.
And
that's how I felt about this radio show. As soon as I have a Thursday, and then it's
and
like,
look at you now.
I'm getting up. Oh, my life is miserable.
Did you say as soon as I have a Thursday? As soon as I have a Thursday morning radio show.
I was on that 6 day week.
as soon as I have my own Thursday morning radio show on Christmas Eve. But that's completely right. How do you connect with somebody who doesn't believe that you could possibly understand what they're going through?
So they just exercise all day? Like, what do you get up? All right.
Get up, give me 20.
Fat camp. Oh my God. What an awful camp.
You know,
it's not a great camp.
Well, here's what it is.
And everyone there is fat.
Well, I mean, it's a health and wellness camp.
Yeah.
And,
it's a fat camp.
But the thing, I take your point because fat's not... We've made fat a bad word, right? Like you can be healthy and fat, or you cannot be. Just like you can be not healthy and skinny, and healthy and skinny. But it's a very American world that I was living in. If you say, you know,
where was this exactly?
In California. If you say, you know, eating disorder here in Vancouver, you think of like. At like somebody who's trying to see that thigh gap in their Lululemons, you know, and like anorexia, you think. But you say eating disorder in America, and it's on the other end,
right?
You know,
which maybe gets a little less sympathy. I feel like.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure.
How long do they have to lose weight? I mean, what's the time frame?
Well, they were.
And how are they? Are these people that are enrolling themselves, or is it like their parents tell them, "Hey, you're going on a really fun," and then they get up there, mm-hmm. "What is this place?"
Mm-hmm. Lock the gates. A little bit of both. Yeah.
That's rough. I mean, feel free to jump in, yeah, or just breathe heavily into the mic. What do you got?
Well, I'll say this is I often think of this. Louis C.K. has this thing of like, if you can talk about something that makes people uncomfortable but make them laugh while you're there, that's probably a good thing for them. Do you know what I mean? Like he got into all that shit on stuff on. He comes on Saturday Night Live and does like a pedophile joke, and people are like, "Do you remember this?"
Yeah.
And
what does this have to do with the fat?
Well, it's not.
I'm gonna be honest. You're really losing me. I just want to hear about the kids. Would cut through the compassionate. Like, what's the day to day for these chubby McGees? They're running around. The sailboats are sinking on the lake. They're eating all the food. Because when I picture camp, it's about like making out. You know, you run off. There's the goofy, like wet hot American summer, and this is like all of that with overweight people. I'm just trying to visualize what it's like. You know.
Yeah, it was all of that, but that's the thing. It was exactly that.
Did anybody lose weight?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What was the like? Give me some numbers here. Proof is in the pudding. Or.
I mean that. So that's another part of it is like people are gonna lose weight at different rates, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if someone's, it's the confusing part about it is there's. So the. There's something, there's the camp, there's something they want to change. They want to lose weight. And then my job there, I was down there like as a, like a therapist kind of guy. So my job is to like, how is like more like a self-acceptance thing. And that's going head to head with this change thing. You know, it's like, well, you guys are, I'm supposed to change myself while accepting myself. Like that doesn't really make sense to me. You know, I thought this was I thought this was like soccer camp or something. This is not what I've signed up for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the...
You got to give me specific questions, man.
Specific questions? Okay. Yeah. Well, what's the... When's your play happening?
There you go. That's a...
Yeah.
January 14, 15, 16 at the Colch.
Yeah.
Just off Commercial Drive. And it's not like a information session or something. Like it's entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do stand-up comedy.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you write your stuff, are you one of these guys who does the rounds, I call them? Like in one night you'll go, I'm at the comedy mix, and then I'm going to go over to the Seven Lounge, and then I'm going to go over like all in one evening?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you ask?
So I ask because I have a little bit of experience with that. I've done random like crash and burn nights or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just trying to compare it to this play in that the ballsiness of doing that, like doing the rounds and like showing people your not finished stuff. You know, like I'm going to go try out a bit at the comedy mix or whatever. I'm doing that, but like behind closed doors with the director, like the people who are helping me with this play. And that it's shitty. It's.
I think you can actually say that. Maybe try not to, but
okay.
For some reason, I think that word's okay.
I just have a lot of appreciation for people who are doing those rounds or doing the comedy because I'm doing my unfinished stuff in front of like one or two people in like the inner circle, and you guys are going around and doing it like in a room full of strangers. It's like the putting yourself out there-ness of that seems to be at a much higher level than what I'm doing, and I'm doing it, and I don't even, it's uncomfortable for me to just go and like perform in front of this director with just me and him. There's a big difference, I think, between.
Right. Well, obviously the play is done now, right? I mean, you've got a locked script or.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. When you write it, you can always change it, right? So that's the whole
thing. I really hope you get fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just really get into character.
No, like, I just feel like I feel like there's something, I feel like you'd make a good fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'd be easier to be a therapist at a fat camp if you'd really be a little chubbier.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, I guess. I mean, maybe it would be.
I mean, it's not really a question.
Yeah.
But you're here on Christmas Eve, and this is the show you're getting. You're probably listening to this going, wow, why didn't Alex write questions? I don't know. I thought fat camp was, like, stimulating enough that you would just come in with a bunch of... Honestly, let's just not talk about the play, because we got a lot of stuff to go into. And you've promised me that you're ready to just jump in and have an awesome time. And I'll tell you who's not having an awesome time, Steve Harvey. You saw the footage.
Yeah, I saw the footage as well.
Hosting Miss Universe, uh-huh. Announcing the wrong winner.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's not an easy situation to be in.
But is it... Was that real or was that staged?
I think it's probably real.
Why do you think that?
You're getting into the conspiracy.
Well, I'm just curious, yeah. Because nobody
knew.
That's
an interesting question.
Nobody knew that was going on, and then that happened. And now everybody knows.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, did you see the card though? I mean, the card was brutal. It was like first runner up, second runner up, and then in the bottom right corner, winner Miss Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that it is real though for the spirit of this conversation. I feel like people are coming down on him pretty hard for making that mistake.
Mm.
But I also feel that any guy in that situation would be would make a mistake like that. You're surrounded by beautiful women.
Mm.
All the blood goes downstairs. You know, you're not thinking clearly.
Mm.
And I realized like I make bigger flubs talking to one woman. And that's just one woman. Okay, you walk up on the street, try to ask them the time.
Mm. Hi. That's your move, asking the time?
Yeah, but let's just say I just really need to know the time.
Okay.
I have one job to do to get the time. Beautiful woman. Hi, how's the time? I mean, it just doesn't work properly. You put me in on stage with 100 of the most beautiful women in the world. Yeah, honestly, I think it's impressive that he even made human sounds with his mouth, you know? I would have announced the winner as like, oh.
Yeah.
What do you think about all that?
Were you following, are you aware of anything that happened before that? Or you just saw the clip of the, what even happens in that pageant? Like, what led them to there? Are they doing the...
Yeah, they walk around in bikinis and they talk about...
And they ask them one political question or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do the overweight youth do? And then they actually have an answer. Like some people. Well, you know, it's... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, now the conspiracy thing is really... Because it is in the news. It is in the news. And second place, I mean, everyone's like, yeah, it's so sad that Columbia got, she had to wear the crown, but she's the most famous, that made her.
Yes.
Most famous runner-up in the world, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to go back to my conspiracy theory that if I were Steve Harvey, is he relevant? I mean, he's hosting that. Maybe it's
I think
like,
he's pretty relevant.
You do?
He hosts, I mean, Family Feud.
Well, yeah.
Those are no small peas.
I guess there's probably some good coin coming in there.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, I could also see that, hey, like maybe the card was the, listen, they offered to Steve Harvey. He's like, I don't really want to do this, but how about we'll make a really confusing card that you can hold up and then people will be like, ah, the card.
Yeah. And we're not saying we want you to announce, you know, the winner as Columbia. We're just saying, you know, start on the left.
Yeah.
Read whatever.
We're just saying, try to read the card.
And, you know, they're just sliding in this envelope. Oh.
And the way that he came back on and he said, you tell someone who's up, he's kind of creeping back on stage. And he's like,
I need to apologize.
Yeah. And then the crowd, it wasn't like a gasp. It was like WWE. It was like, oh, like it was like, it was almost like they'd been prepped or something. Or that was like,
this conspiracy goes deep.
Yeah.
Hey? This is like,
the whole crowd knew.
We're like the last two people that don't know, just living in the Truman Show of, you wouldn't believe how deep this goes.
Yeah. Cause it wasn't more of, it was like, they already knew it was going to happen. It wasn't more of like, what's going to happen next? It was like, we know what you're up to, Steve.
Yeah.
That's the way I read it.
Well, Let's go to a song here.
Mm.
We're gonna. I've been told it takes about 20 minutes to get into the good stuff in the show, and I feel like that's really what's happening. Like we've warmed up,
right?
Which probably means I should just start having 20-minute conversations before the show starts. But you know, we're running with it. It's Christmas Eve, and you know, we're trying to do what we can. So listen to some nice music here. Let's listen to some Russian Futurists, Canadian band, and we'll be back soon with some more conspiracy talk, or maybe something else.
Caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
All right, we are back. Welcome back. And I guess I need to apologize. I didn't prep a lot of questions for that, if you can even call it an interview. And I also complained heavily about this show I was on recently that didn't ask me any questions. But, you know, it's all right. We're in the swing now. We're feeling good.
What you just said there makes it sound like I scolded you during that break or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, my cheek is still red. And but you know what? I was not that this is an excuse. It really isn't an excuse. But I had a show last night. So I was prepping for that.
Whereabouts?
At the Comedy Mix. And it was a weird show. The very large crowd.
Christmas tree on the stage?
Christmas tree on the stage, yeah. Empty presents, you know, the whole classic. But a front row of this group of girls. And they weren't heckling. Now, a heckler is like, oh, a heckler's going to ruin the show, right? Someone that yells out in the middle of the show. But honestly, I realize a heckler is not that bad. A heckler is nothing. I'd actually love a heckler, someone to just shout out and disturb things. You know, you get something going.
Right.
It's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's
you wanted them to heckle and they weren't heckling, is what you're saying?
No. I'm saying that the way that these girls were disturbing it was in this way more insidious. But they were doing this giggly thing where they just giggled all the time.
Laughing at a comedy show.
Well, yeah, but it was just all the time. They weren't listening.
Not at the punchlines. It was just.
But then if I started talking, like, hey, like, what's going on, guys? They'd just be like, oh, I don't know. And it really threw me off because I was like, they're invincible. I can't come down on these girls. They're gonna. Yeah. I'll just look like a D-bag.
Sure.
But they really were throwing me off, and that's when I noticed that they were drinking Caesars. Mm. And I've really found this to be a trend.
The Caesar trend.
Whenever people drink Caesars, similar to Caesar, it is a downfall for me. Mm. That was a terrible connection. Because the person that drinks a Caesar is, there's something about that personality type that would drink a Caesar at a club where it's like, I love brunch and I need to drink, but I also want me. And I like my, it's just such a particular thing.
Right.
You know, you want the beer bucket people.
Yeah,
that's a good table.
Different crowd. So did you reference the fact that they were throwing you off? Did you give them that? Yeah.
I did, which is never good. It's never good to say that people are throwing you. But you know what? It was a good show anyway. So,
but when you told them they were throwing you, what did that do to the...
To what?
Power dynamic. They had you there for a while.
Yeah.
And then you referenced it, and then did that...
I gave her the mic, actually.
You gave her the mic?
I put the mic in her hand, and I went, do you want this to be your show, because you're making it into your show? And it was a risk, because I've done that a couple times, and every time...
Giving people the mic.
You know, the risk is that they'll go, yeah, you know, I actually would like that, and they'll walk away and then start, like, actually start doing better than you. But you know, it hasn't happened yet, and it was fine, so...
So what did this person do?
She had nothing.
Giggled.
More giggles.
More giggles into the mic.
Yeah, and then I went, and the next minute, like, I blinked and it was morning. It really was that fast. This was a hard morning to get up, and the Listerine, like, I don't know, the earlier it is, the harder it is to use Listerine.
Mm-hmm.
I really, do you ever use mouthwash? You look like a guy that uses mouthwash.
Yeah.
I don't make it very far. I think you're supposed to hold it in your mouth for like 45 seconds. I don't think I've ever made it to like 25 seconds.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a pretty intense experience. What are you using? Listerine?
I'm using like the cool stuff. That's like, this is easier on the gums. Like children use this.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a very sensitive mouth.
I got into using that.
That's a little weird, but whatever.
That orange. There's like Listerine, but it's orange.
Oh, that's like preschool stuff. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's intense, man. I think
it's not like orange citrus. It's like,
no, it's like,
oh, that's like elderly people. Yeah, like, you gotta get right. Deep into the bones.
That's right. It's more the elderly one than the kids one, but because it's like, it's
so not, you're thinking ahead.
I guess, but it's like, I was just like, why is the other stuff green? Is yours green or blue?
It's green.
Yeah
That's true. I mean, it probably could just be clear. I'm sure they add the green, because green...
They got to add the green.
You know, studies have shown peppermint and green stuff is fresher.
Yeah, but also, like, you're putting green stuff into your mouth. Like, that seems the opposite. It should be, like...
Yeah, because it's probably staining your teeth.
Yeah.
It should be white, or... There is a white mouthwash, but it's really disgusting. If you want to call in, I know that this stimulating... I just want to talk. Mm-hmm. How do I get on the air? Well, it's really easy. You just call 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Who can call? Anyone can call.
With mouthwash recipes. I know some people make their own mouthwash.
Yeah, if you're that kind of, you know, just out in the woods making my own fresh stuff, call in. If you're in your car, don't call while driving.
No.
Park. Don't go into work. Just call in. Say, hey, I'm a long-term listener, first-time caller. And if you ever want to email the show, you can email at 604podcast@gmail.com. I have no umbrella, so that's unfortunate.
I also have no umbrella.
Lost it again.
I invested in a really good umbrella, got stolen, and now I just go back to the $5 umbrellas, and they last about a week, and then it's their time. Their time has come.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but the $5 umbrella, that's a bad umbrella.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That really, it's nothing. You're better off just holding your hands above your head. I get the $20. I feel like that's the cutoff. Like, once you hit 20, mm-hmm. you've got an umbrella. And I do wonder how, like, there's so many umbrellas out there with people, you know. But, like, I've lost dozens of umbrellas. But there's no surplus of umbrellas. Shouldn't there be? Where are all those umbrellas? Do people find them and then just hold on to them? Because I have to keep buying them and buying them. The last two I've bought have lasted 4 days and 2 weeks. So I'm really, it's low. It's a low amount of time.
You put it down, if you're going under scaffolding, umbrella down, or you keep it up? What's the amount of time you need to put down an umbrella? A block, you know?
Oh, I'm the guy who, like, it's always up.
Yeah.
A lot of the time I'll be like, oh, it stopped raining hours ago. Still had it up. You know, can't be too sure.
Exactly.
Can't be too safe. Kind of like the Cold War, you know?
Exactly like the Cold War.
You know, speaking of the Cold War.
Yeah.
my segues are really tired today. But, no, I was reading that they actually released, like, this huge list of, like, previously classified documents from the Cold War, which is really, really cool when that happens. And
it's public?
Dude, we were so close. It's public, yeah. We were so close to destroying the world.
Yeah.
Like, they were building a bomb that was 70 times the size of the bomb that blew up Hiroshima.
70.
Like, if I had said 5, he would be like, that's pretty bad. And now, think about how much more 70 is than 5 times. That's a big bomb.
And this is, have you seen these documents? Are you some sort of conspiracy theorist?
No, this was, like, major news.
Is this related to Steve Harvey?
Yeah, I mean, he did bomb, but...
The same people who brought you the Steve Harvey card.
I mean, I would love it if my bits could fit together that neatly, but it's Christmas Eve. It's going to be a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
But I just think about that, like, even back then, I know things were different. I know there was a lot of fear. But the dude that was like, all right, guys, it's, make sure you have your coffee. Like, what I'm thinking for, you know, the next quarterly is we build a bomb 70 times. He should have been slapped so hard. Like, what are you saying, dude?
70 times.
What do you want? When will you be happy? Well, it's just like... How miserable is your relationship at home that you're trying to kill everybody in Russia? Like, there was this whole thing. They were trying to maximize collateral damage. So we have come a little bit.
So do they know how close did they come to making the bomb? Like, were they just in the design phase? Were they just somebody drafted it on a big piece of paper?
You know, they probably – I'd like to think that it was like somebody goes, you know what? This is probably a bad idea, but I bet we just ran out of money. I mean, it's like, man, we're so close.
This is horrible. If we would have said 60 times bigger, well, that was in the budget to go 60 times, but the funding it takes to make a bomb 70 times bigger.
Yeah. So maybe it's actually a good thing that they went big.
Yeah.
Because if they'd been a little more conservative, which bomb makers probably tend to. See, that's the thing with anybody that's good at making a bomb is crazy. There's no dude that was like the quarterback in high school and then, like, did a lot of volunteering, and I was like, you know what I'm really into? Bombs. I love making things go. It's always the creepy dude in his basement that, like, pulls the legs off bugs.
Yeah.
And, like...
It's the guy who's running Halloween fireworks across the border.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, man, fireworks. Fireworks are... They are great. I love fireworks, man. I wish I could really go back in time to when... What I would do is I would take the... I would get those ones that just, like, smaller fireworks, and I would hit them with a hammer. I am that guy.
Yeah,
like,
you just learned that.
It's not smart enough,
Wait a second. I am that guy.
I would hammer them, and I would extract all the powder from inside, and then I would make, like, one bigger bomb out of the smaller ones.
Like a pipe bomb?
Like a pipe bomb.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then where would the pipe bomb go?
I would do something really smart where I would light it in my hand, and then I'd wait, And then I throw it.
Is your mom still here?
She's outside, yeah.
Is she listening?
She's listening, yeah. My mom is a special guest. And
is this new information for your mom, or do you think she knows about this pipe bomb?
Maybe not. Also, she has 30 years in radio. She worked for CBC for 30 years.
Oh,
boy,
wow.
Is she disappointed.
Yeah. She's disappointed in her son for a couple of reasons this morning.
Yeah, so, and I would get it pretty close. Like, it would be, I'd throw it up, and it would explode in the air. And
wow.
I really shouldn't have hands right now, but I do.
You'd throw it up in the air?
It would explode before it hit the ground, yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
Yeah, not the most responsible.
Well, you know, there's got to be. So that's, we're talking about the evil side of bomb builders, but then there's the fireworks. You mentioned you like the fireworks. Like every year, you watch the Celebration of Light or whatever, and it's getting more and more advanced. They're like they blow up and they go in different directions. So somebody out there is using explosives for good. Still, explosive artists.
You must choose a side.
Exactly.
The dark side or the festival of the light side.
Exactly.
That's good. Yeah. You know, speaking of. Light and dark. I'm seeing Star Wars this week. Have you seen it yet, the new one?
I have not.
I got my tickets. And it's really hard to avoid spoilers. Now, don't call in now and just like blurt out a spoiler. I probably should have closed with this. But yeah, I mean, for instance, I follow Patton Oswalt, the comedian, on Facebook.
Yep.
And one morning he just spoils it. And then, like, 10 minutes later, he was like, whoops, sorry, that was supposed to be a message to a friend. I'll delete that last post.
And you've
I read the first sentence. You know when you read something, you rip your eyes away? So it's already been spoiled a little bit. And, like, I just, man, if there's one thing I detest, it's spoilers. It's the worst.
I walked into a grocery store recently, and there was oranges that had Star Wars stickers on them. Star Wars promo
and the ending
oranges. Each one, you put the oranges in the right.
And they're really doing the cross marketing, like.
Oh,
to the
I've
max.
Never seen it. I've
Star
never
Wars
seen
tampons.
It. Yeah, I've never seen it like this. Yeah.
I was reading about the boy from. was that a red font? Yeah, I guess that kind of. They've got the red one already.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's just it along. And you know, I was reading about the boy from the first Star Wars, Anakin, Episode One. That dude had a hard life.
The actor.
Yeah. After
what happened to him?
Ooh, I mean, I wish I could say he went on to.
He went down into the Macaulay Culkin territory.
Dude, I don't know what it is about young actors that look good. Like when you look good as a young kid,
you're not going to make it.
You don't look good later. It's the ugly people.
He peaked too early.
Yeah, the ugly ducklings turn into swans. And
this
then,
is what, how old is that kid?
He's like 20 now.
Wow.
Yeah, and he apparently all through high school and college. People would that's all they would talk about. Like, why don't you go in a pod race? Huh? Hey, man, can you pass me that beer? Just use the force. Really just feel awful for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough life when you've tied yourself to that role. There's no coming out of character. I don't think.
And that's a common thing, too. You know, like, it happens to a lot of child actors, which leads me to think that if you're bringing your child to auditions, you're not a good parent. You know, like, we're going to rake in the bucks, and he's going to be doing ecstasy really soon.
Yeah. There's this thing.
Oh. No, yeah. Go on. I mean, don't get distracted.
I once heard Kid Cudi say this thing about Justin Bieber when Justin Bieber was having his moment on his little tear there.
You really are a name dropper. Nathan Fielder, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
You know, King Cudi. And when I was hanging out with Tiesto in Ibiza and we got
this is just, I'm name dropping.
People you don't know.
comment section of internet videos. But,
yeah.
But he said, you don't mature past the age you got famous.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
Because you just freeze there. Because that kid.
That's why I'm so mature.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Still going.
Yeah, yeah. It's not your time yet. Your time will come. But you just freeze there because people stop saying no to you, and then you just can get away with what you want, and then one thing leads to another.
Man, that's so true. Like, some people are born famous.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy? Like, Northwest?
Yeah.
Kanye's kid? Does that mean he's just going to have the intelligence of a baby forever? Like,
always.
He can never.
No, never.
He can't walk.
No.
You know, he has his own signature perfume, but he can't
speak. He can't walk. Just crawling around. That would be interesting, actually.
We could really make fun of Kanye a lot. Hey, Kanye, how's your kid? I mean, that wouldn't be very nice, but...
You got two kids, I think, now.
Yeah, what's the other one called? Saint?
I don't know.
They're all weird just weird names.
You got to name them weird, I guess. We all know that that's true of celebrity children.
I've been told I need to talk about more about the music before I play it. Generally, my modus is like, here's a great bit or a mediocre bit. All right, let's take a music break. I play a song I like.
So what's the tie-in here? What do you got?
This is a song that sounds cool. And this next song I'm going to play for a bit here is from a Vancouver producer. Now, this song got voted second best song of the year.
By who?
By Resident Advisor, okay. Which is like the dance music countdown. Mm-hmm. It's and Jack J. Thurston, that's what I'm about to play. Now, this guy's playing at a New Year's Eve party in Vancouver with some other musicians, and it looks really cool. There's a big ad for it. I'm like, oh, great, I want to go to the New Year's party.
Yep.
You know what it says? Secret location.
Secret location.
Okay, you're doing your fancy secret party, but you know what? Don't advertise it. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You don't get to have your like little niche, like clicky party and then also go, but I want everyone to know that they can't come to the party.
But there's also a restaurant in Gastown called Secret Location.
Yeah, I don't think it's Secret Location.
Maybe it is.
But man, if you read the Yelp reviews on Secret Location.
It's terrible.
I'm going to read one when we get back.
Yeah, let's do that.
Really good. Yeah. You're contributing.
Yeah.
It's excellent. So enjoy the sweet sounds of Jack J. Thirsting.
For over 30 years, there has been one voice in the local Vancouver art scene that has stood above the rest, and that's Discorder, that conspiracy, punk rock, foxcore, sassy, still publishing magazine from CITR. We're one of the established and trusted voices of Vancouver's music and arts culture in the Lower Mainland, with 8,000 copies distributed monthly to over 135 distribution locations, from the Lido to Zulu Records.
Discorder is one of a few magazines published by a community radio station, and we only serve up the freshest local and Canadian goods.
We have interviews with artists, album reviews, live show reviews, and articles about everything important to our crazy, unique, varied, and amazing culture in Vancouver and across the country.
Pick up your free copy of Discorder today, or sign up to have it delivered to your door wherever you are.
Check out our website for distribution locations and all the information about advertising and getting involved.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, welcome back. Man, I was reading some reviews.
Secret location?
Secret location reviews, and it's mostly just people complaining about the eggs being too runny. So I don't know if people really want to hear that, but yeah, my friend actually worked there for a bit. And he had to wear one of those little, like, Daniel Craig Bond bow ties.
Bow ties, yeah.
And I don't know, that's about all I know.
I just know that whenever you walk past it, it's completely empty.
But yeah, there's a lot of places that are consistently empty, but they're still around.
Yeah, suspicious.
There's a place in the neighborhood I live called, like, the Bay Shore something. And it has, first of all, okay, here's one thing. I mean, that place has been around for about a year. So it says established 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a failure this entire time, yep. Which leads me to think that maybe if you open a business, you shouldn't jump the gun on writing established.
Right.
Because you're not established.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's supposed to be like Jack Johnson Bourbon. It's been. Did I say Jack Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Think of a generic name. No, say the most popular. Like, that's great. But yeah, I mean. Maybe wait a little bit.
Yeah, since 1663.
16. Wow. I wonder what the oldest, like, company is.
When they first got established, yeah.
That's still around.
Yeah, that is bold to write established 2015. There's, I don't trust that already.
But that's kind of that's where we're at as a society is like, oh, you just became a musician? Well, you got to have a Facebook page. Well, no, you should probably wait, but. You
should get established.
But I want to be a musician now. In the stand-up comedy scene, that's like a big thing. Is people, because, you know, there's no, I mean, like, at first glance, there's not much difference between dude that just started doing stand-up and professional stand-up, right? It's a guy standing on a stage.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a big difference in quality and, like, what you're doing, how much money you're making. So people start, they do a couple open mics, and they're like, you know, I'm a stand-up comedian, because it feels good to say.
Sure.
But, I mean, I hesitate to even say I'm a stand-up comedian because some people are like, where are you working? And you're like, well, I've got a couple things coming up, but
yeah.
I'm not established.
No, not established. Well, I would say, and the other thing about the people who just are starting out, I would think, is you have your whole life to draw material from if you haven't done a stand-up set yet. So maybe your first couple will be, they might be pretty good. But then it's like,
they're still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Even after all that experience.
Yeah.
But I think you got a point. Like, the first year, people get a couple good nuggets in there.
Yeah.
And then they start to fall off. And it is, there's beginner's luck for sure, because you haven't drawn from any of your personality or experience.
Sure.
And now I'm getting scared because, like, this radio show, we're about a year in, did the podcast, did the show. I wonder when we're just going to kind of sputter out. Maybe that's today.
Established 2014 then, or?
Yeah. Well, no, 2015.
Okay, so just like the restaurant?
This year, yeah. I hope I fare better. And I found that a lot of restaurants that are white fail. Secret Location, it's a very white, like, very
Caucasian?
Clean. No. Well, quite the opposite.
White and aesthetic.
White and aesthetic, yeah.
Minimal white.
It looks empty.
Yeah, it already looks empty.
If White isn't full,
yeah, it's going to be full of people and still look empty.
And it's pretentious.
Well, we've is got, this what the one that near you is like, that other division?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's a chain of white, empty places. Mm.
You know, another sign of that comedian guy you're talking about, the guy who just started. One time I was just sitting in waiting to go up at Yuck Yucks on just like a pro am night, and a guy came tap me on the shoulder. He's like, can we switch spots? I got to get out of here.
So you've done a little stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I said, yeah, no problem. We'll switch spots. He's like, yeah, I'm here. And I got to go down the street to here. And I got to go to there. I'm like, I told you, yes, we can switch spots. He's like, yeah, just because like every night I'm out here, I'm doing like four shows a night. And I'm like, okay. It's like, I said yes before. You didn't need to tell me any of this, right? And I think there's
Also a vegan.
Yeah, exactly. But there's that mystique of like, this is the grind that I'm on, man. And like, yeah. if you're going to do multiple shows.
Oh, I've got a whole, yeah.
But if you were to do two sets in a night, are they the same sets? You're just trying them in different rooms?
The thing is that people, and you know, look, I'm not a comedy legend. This is just my opinion. But yeah. I really do think that a lot of people fall into this like, this romantic kind of, hey, suffering builds character. You know, I'm just going to get up. I'm going to do four shows a night. I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bang it out. Bang, bang, bang. It's like, you're not getting better from this.
No.
Honestly, like, I think most people, they just selected shows that matter and try to switch it up a little bit each time. But people get, and then, yeah, you watch them. They're just doing the same thing, and it's not that. But, I mean, then again, the kind of person that would do stand-up comedy and actually try to do it and not just something that you try, you know, you're a little bit unhinged anyway. So, I mean, I am. I know I am. I have bipolar disorder, and I get money every month from the government, but I started realizing how, like, embarrassing it is. If I want to use the money, if I'm having, like, okay, I'm not working for a few months, I want to collect my disability, which is great that the government does it, because mental illness is a serious thing.
Yeah.
But I have to go down to the Ministry of Social Development to get it, and I have to stand in line with, like, war vets and single mothers. And it's a little embarrassing when they're like asking me why I'm there.
Yeah.
And I have to say, mood swings. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I get sad and then I get happy.
Yeah.
It is. How many kids are you raising by yourself? Four? Oh, well, sometimes I get manic.
Yeah.
And it gives me all this confidence and I can gamble and have a lot of sex with, you know, multiple partners. It's just like, are you sure this is like holding you back?
Here's your money.
Not really, but yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Direct deposit, okay? It's just.
So that works where that works. If you're not working for a period of time, you can go and collect that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. Canada is one of the best places to go crazy in the world. Great mental hospitals. your medication is paid for. If you have schizophrenia in the States, it's not looking good. You know how many people have mental illness in the States that are on like holistic kind of like, I'm just going to eat healthy and exercise. Yeah, it's not going to work. Well, I can't afford. Exactly.
Mixing up their own.
How does one make how does one tooth whitener?
I think it's baking soda. I think baking soda seems to me like it's a key ingredient.
Baking soda seems to be like the save all.
Baking soda, green food coloring.
Simon, call in. I want to hear how we're doing. It also just feels really good to press this phone button. It's like, boom, you're on the air. So 604 UBC CITR or anybody really call in. This is probably a slow morning. I don't know. There's like four people out there.
Yeah.
just delirious. Have you got your shopping done for Christmas?
I do have my shopping done. I keep it pretty simple. How about you? You get them all done? Are you going to run out after this? Well, don't say too much. Your mom's outside, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for the heads up. I got her present. I'm done. I don't know a lot of people.
No.
Don't know a lot of people. Have a lot of board games at home, like have a collection. Don't know a lot of people, so it's a tough combination. Don't have anybody to play board games with.
Do you have a, like, when you meet a new person and they say, and you tell them, so you said you hesitate to say you're a comic. Is he calling?
Oh yes, thank you. All right, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Oh wait, there's another person ringing too.
Yeah, get the other person.
Okay.
Oh, they hung up. That would have been cool. Call back if you just
that'd have been cool.
If you just
that'd
called
been
in,
cool.
call in again. We'll I think we can put two people on the air and we'll have
it
a nice.
It always rings two. It always shows two calling. So I think that just.
Oh, happened. It was just him.
No, but there was two. Is it okay? Well, we can get into this later. How's it going, man? How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. I have a question though. Did your mom drive you to the station this morning?
Oh, it was great. She picked me up. She's
oh,
in town.
She absolutely did. Oh, you poor man. I did want to mention that you said I need to talk more about the music, and then instead of mentioning what song just played, you went into a bit that was. It seemed like you were halfway through it, and you didn't give any context to it. But other than that, yeah, it's going great. You guys sound wonderful. You really do.
Woohoo! That's a hard man to please.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to make you feel better.
I know.
But I might have said two more swear words since the last time we talked, but they're both cleared, I think.
I'm surprised you're saying any more than two words at all. Most of your responses have been yeah, and then just repeating what Alex said. But you sound great, buddy. I think you're going to be a great replacement for me.
Yeah, and just a real treat to have such a warm welcome from both of you guys. You know, I come in here, it's just nothing but warmth and affection from both of you guys. So it's just a really nice way to spend my Christmas Eve.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas, pal.
Yeah, you too.
Simon, we haven't really been speaking a lot. There's been kind of a blackout period here in our friendship.
Oh, I hadn't noticed.
I guess not.
Over the last, like, what, 3 days or something?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been like 4 days.
I didn't realize that it affected you that much. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing just fine. I'm gonna let you go, and if you want to come back, are we doing a show on? We're gonna do a show on New Year's Day, right?
You bet we are.
All right, and then we're gonna go out. I guess. Oh, I'm gonna need a nap. I'm gonna need a nap. All right, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
And let's just ask you one more thing. What do you? Oh, you know, I'm gonna hang up on you. Okay, see you later. Well, that was nice. I need to get better at doing the songs. You know, I'm not a trained radio guy like Simon Armstrong, shock jock extraordinaire.
But it's in the family, though.
Simon's not my brother.
Yeah, but the radio.
Oh yeah, might have skipped a generation.
Okay.
I got the receding hairline, and none of the radio talent. So yeah, 8:57, guys. Probably have time to talk about the next show that's coming in, and and then. Get out of here, I guess. I just was given the wrap it up symbol.
By your mom.
Yeah, by my mom. Tune into Community Living. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. Cheers.